Today's Holy Gospel, like so many, is all about having a relationship with Jesus. How incredible it is that without Jesus, there can be no answers. But with Jesus, there can be no questions. Think about that. This is where personal inner strength and faith, along with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, can make all the difference. He truly wants us to spend time with Him and trust in Him. It can be as simple as those words, "Help me, Jesus." When we bring our problems, needs, and concerns to God in prayer, He answers in many different ways, and possibly showing us how we need to change and grow in our attitude and behavior towards the issue at hand. This answer is often not the one we're looking for. You know, it's said that God answers prayers three ways. Yes, no, and not now. And we need to be mindful of that. He's always listening if we're speaking. But we also need to be listening as well. It's so effective to know that God helps us trace His hand in our lives. You know, in the past 17 plus years that I've been blessed to write sermons, the Lord has given me an insight that I've often used, and I find it to be so true. And this is this. When we look in the rearview mirror of our lives, we can see God's fingerprints over everything. Think about that. There's not one thing that has happened in your life that has not been guided, blessed, and protected by God Himself. In today's Holy Gospel reading from Luke, Jesus refuses to sit in as judge for this man and his brother because He refuses to participate in satisfying the greed that He senses prompted this request. Instead of helping the man to get his inheritance, Jesus points him to a different understanding of life. Jesus wants him to understand that life is not to be valued in terms of wealth and possessions, but instead true blessings come to those who hear the word of God, and more importantly, who do it. Jesus instills His people to think beyond earthbound goals and to use what they've been given for God's kingdom: faith, service, and obedience. You know, I spoke just a few minutes about, in our prayer, about King Solomon. He was given everything that could possibly be given to a person, yet he blew it. You know, he blew it. History tells us that he was disobedient, and so he lost it. It's a matter of using the gifts that God gives us. What's the old saying? Use it or you lose it? Yeah, it was really true for Solomon. The verses immediately following today's Holy Gospel from Luke shows Jesus instructing the people and us that worrying is a complete waste of time. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, or about your body, what you'll wear. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will He clothe you, O you of little faith?" Jesus clearly indicates that humanity has faced the very same problem. It's the A word, anxiety. We've all fallen victim to anxiety. Maybe it was to get your driver's license, worrying, am I going to be able to do that, what we used to call the K-turn, three-point turn now. Or I don't know what it might be. Maybe it's to get your license as a PA. You know, all these different things that fall into our life that we get the A word and worry about. I remember when I was as a senior in seminary, we had to do something called the GOEs. the general ordination exam. And when it was all done, the bishop at that time said to me, "You survived ecclesial hazing." Ecclesial means church. So basically, it was like, okay, you got through it. Now we'll ordain you. Wow. But the anxiety that all of these seniors, these 28 seniors in the class of 2005 from Trinity School for Ministry, we were tightly wound. So what do? They sent us a tin of the world's best cookies, chocolate chip cookies. Well, it helped the anxiety, but it was over. Sometimes we put ourselves through the mill, and for no reason at all. Jesus warns that stressing and worrying cannot change the situation, and it won't help you to help you to live a long life and a happy life. You know what they say? Stress is the silent killer. A lot of people listening to Jesus barely had enough to live on, and they worried that one day all of that they had would be gone. And Jesus made it clear about worrying over food and clothing. Stress and worry can make you very ill. And worrying about worrying will only make it worse. You know, it's funny, my wife used to call me a worry wart. But God changed that along the way. And my mom's favorite song, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." You remember that? Drove me nuts. It's all she played, all she sang. It's like, okay, Mom, I get it. What Jesus says here goes right to the heart of people's behavior. He gets right down to the roots of the problem. The man who wanted Jesus to arbitrate his dispute with his brother was so typical in his attitude, and especially about the land that God gave to their ancestors. The land, with a capital L, was the inheritance from Almighty God for all generations. Now, if you have any questions about who owns the land in the Middle East, listen to these words from Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. And then in Genesis 15, God made promises to Abram that the land, capital L, would be his for generations to come. All generations to come, all through Isaac, his promised son. And then God made a binding contract. This was not a contract that he expected Abram and the people to keep. This was a contract that God was going to keep. You may have heard the story in Genesis 15 about how he had Abram get these animals and split them in half, and then he made Abram go to sleep, and God himself walked through between the animals. And that was the means of setting a contract into being. And so he made that binding contract, this covenant. Hear these words from Genesis 15, 18 to 21. God said these words to Abram: "To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Raphaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites." Excuse me, but you either believe what God said or you don't. This land of Israel. Now, we're not talking about Lebanon, and we're not talking about Egypt. We're not talking necessarily about Syria. We're talking about Israel, the promised land. This land was given by God and cannot be taken away or claimed illegitimately by others. Do you hear what I'm saying? In the world today, we keep hearing about a group of people who are claiming that land. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Genesis. God gave that land, and it cannot be taken away. Families clung to their inheritances for religious reasons as well as economic ones. Important for us to understand what the Mosaic law said about inheritance. The elder brother would receive a double portion of the father's ownings as an inheritance. If the father had no sons, his possessions were to be divided among his daughters. But his daughters were then required to marry within their father's tribe so that his possessions would not leave the tribe. Inheritance was their way of life, their existence, and now it was their future. You can see the reasons why this man was so insistent about his inheritance, getting his share from his brother. You only need to listen to the parable of the son, remember, the prodigal son, who wanted his inheritance before his father died. He went out and squandered it. So the older brother was all upset when he came back. It's all about inheritance, and it's in the Bible, at least for those days. Jesus himself was longing to shower grace and new life of people from every race and place. Israel, as far as he could see, was in danger of becoming like the man in this account who wanted the security of enough possessions to last a long time. And Jesus wanted these people to understand that life isn't like that. The kingdom of God isn't like that. The kingdom of God is, at its very heart, about God's majesty sweeping the world with love and power, so that everyone made in God's image and each one loved beyond belief may relax in the knowledge that God is in control. All we need to do is trust him. It's a hard word. Trust. It's a four-letter word. Trust? Like love? Wow. When Jesus points to the birds and the flowers, he wants people to understand that God, the Creator, loves to give good gifts, loves to give you the kingdom, loves, that is, to bring his loving care and rescue right into your life. Do you know the word Savior and salvation? Do you know what that really means? Rescue. To be rescued from what we deserve. Wow. Think about that. If God is the Father who calls you his child, why do we have such a hard time trusting him? Why do we let stress beat us up and rob us of the joy that comes with a happy and blessed life? God wants you to call on him to guide you from the pit that you've dug for yourself and let him lift you up and out and give you a new way of coping, a new way of trusting. In closing, I want to share with you what Jesus said later in this very conversation. He said, "Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass in the field, which are here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith?" Mind-boggling, isn't it? To think that God has so much covered, but many just can't trust him like the birds and the lilies do. Are we that bad as being control freaks that we have to always drive the bus? We always have to have the steering wheel. We always have to have the gas. How many people here sitting in the passenger seat have their own brake pedal? Think about it. You might not be trying to steer. You might be bracing yourself when there's really no need to brace yourself. But hitting that brake pedal, I see some smiles here. You know, we're human. We're really human. He wants us to trust in him, to call on him, to rely on him, to take the stress and the worry from us. The Apostle James, God, Jesus' brother, gave us great insight with these words. He said in James chapter 1, verse 17, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God wants from you your troubles, your worries, and most of all, he wants your love. You know what Jesus always said after he rose from the dead? When he came into a group of people, think about it. He said, "Peace be with you." Not stress and troubles, but he wanted you to receive the peace that surpasses all understanding. God wants your troubles. He wants your worries. And most of all, as I said, he wants your love. Let him who gives us life eternal remove the stress from you and from me. And let us do one thing today. If we do nothing else, look for his fingerprints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.